As we gather tonight to worship the Lord, it is good that we are here. It is good that we're here to receive from Jesus not only his word, but also his very body and blood, and to receive in him the hope of eternal life. Really, it's an amazing thing when we realize who he is. Do you have those moments where you stop and you think, wow, the God of the universe, he knows me. He knows my name. He loves me. He did all this for me. Those moments, I guess, they seem to happen more and more often the more I pray. It's funny how that works. And as my life has gone on, those have happened more and more often. This profound gratitude, this humbled but joyful reception that God would serve me. Because that would seem to be very much beneath him. It would seem to be very, very much beneath God to come and to serve and to wash my feet. That's why Peter has the right response. I mean, he has the most logical response. It's not the right response, but it certainly makes sense. Lord, you're not washing my feet. Do you know who you are? Do you know who I am? Well, how is that okay? Jesus is going to do much more than wash Peter's feet. He's going to Calvary for him. He's going to give his body and blood for Peter, for all who will believe in him to have eternal life. And it is profoundly uncomfortable at times when, not bad, but it's outside of our comfort zone in a good way, when we realize, when we have those moments, those profound moments of, wow, God, the God of the universe, took human flesh so that he could wash my feet, so that he could serve me. Talk about going out of your way. He went out of his way. And so we are, if that is ever something that we're tempted to take for granted, we just have to look up at the stars or, I don't know, open a science book or something and realize how big the universe is, how small the universe is. It's also very small. You can't explore how small it is. The nanoparticles, and I'm not a scientist, but it gets pretty small in there. And it's unsearchable, ultimately. I mean, well, as far as we can tell so far, we don't know everything. We probably won't ever be able to search out the depths or the heights of the universe. And the God who made all of that knows your name, desires you, laid down his life for you, comes to wash your feet, comes to you in the Eucharist, especially tonight, in his body and blood. That's what each Mass is about. Each Mass, we remember these words of Jesus from the Last Supper, when he told his apostles on the night before he was to suffer what it was going to do. He explained the cross to them before he went to the cross. There were thousands of years of Jewish history as a nation chosen by God to reveal to the world his love, his holiness, his goodness, his justice, his mercy. He had a relationship with the Israelites that was such that he dwelt in their midst in the temple. And that was made possible because of their deliverance from Egypt. Everything that they had as a nation was really God's gift to them, especially God's choice, because they're not the biggest nor the strongest nor this or that. God goes through this. He says, I didn't choose you because you were better than everybody else. I chose you because I did. He doesn't say why, really. I don't know if it's like asking, if it's like saying, why do you love your child? Because you're my child. But he chose them. And when they were in slavery in Egypt, this is the night that is that's remembered, okay? The Passover wasn't just one day long feast in the time of Jesus. There were festivities and preparations and stuff that it went for more than just a day, but maybe like we have Easter now. But when Jesus lays down his life for them on the cross, he's already explained it. Just as the Passover lamb was sacrificed, and we heard that in the first reading, just as the Passover lamb was sacrificed and its blood put over the doorpost of the Israelites so that they might be set free from slavery to Pharaoh and Egypt and don't have to do this slavery thing anymore, so the blood of the lamb, the one lamb, was poured out and his body was given so that we could be set free from slavery to sin and Satan, and so that we could live a new life of freedom and have God dwelling in our midst. Although he doesn't dwell in our midst in the temple, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And that's very profoundly, he puts a profound exclamation on that when he has us consume his body and blood. But we heard in the first reading that it's this lamb without blemish. This is how you're supposed to sacrifice the lamb. This is how you're supposed to roast its flesh. If anything is left over, you have to burn it or bury it. You just can't leave it around. There's this sense of reverence and respect for this lamb, which they eat in haste. They're all ready to go. Because when they partake of that lamb, when they eat of the lamb's body, and when they have the blood sprinkled over the doorposts of their home, the angel of death is going to pass over them and no harm is going to come to them. And Pharaoh and the Egyptians are going to say, you can leave now. You can leave now. God, it said in the first reading, he's going to bring judgment on the false gods of the Egyptians and show them that there is one true God. There's only one God. But God's people are spared. They're spared death. They're spared slavery. They're set free. And that is what the Jews were remembering when Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room for the Last Supper. They would have been having a Seder meal, a Passover meal, where you explain the food. You talk about the food. I think I mentioned this last year. You talk about the food. Father, the youngest boy says to the oldest male, Father, how come we're eating unleavened bread? Well, we're eating unleavened bread because our ancestors had to eat as though ready for flight to leave Egypt. Well, why are we eating this bitter herb? When I was a kid, it was horseradish. Why are we eating this bitter herb? And I was like, we can have more of it. I liked horseradish, but it wasn't very bitter. But for all the years of bitter slavery in Egypt, there's a reason, there's an explanation. You talk about the food, it's a symbolic thing. They're talking about the Passover lamb. They're talking about the Passover. That's what a Passover meal is. If you've never been to one, it's a great idea to go to one. Then again, you've all been to one because that's what the Mass is. That's what the Last Supper was. Where Jesus is explaining, instead of saying the usual thing, this is what's so amazing about it, he doesn't say the usual thing about the bread, does he? He says, this is my body. It's going to be broken for you. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, the new covenant in my blood. He's not talking about the body of a lamb that was roasted or the blood of a lamb that was put on the lintels. He's talking about his own body and blood. He is saying, I am the Lamb of God, the true sacrifice that sets you free from sin and from death, and to give the gift of eternal life. That is why the Passover lamb, that is why that is so important for us, to help us understand. That's how the disciples, that's the lens through which they were looking when they heard Jesus say these things. So that the next day at the cross, they would have some sense of what is going on. And I think it still would have been so scandalous. The cross would have been so difficult to deal with. But they would have been able to look back and say, oh no, this is his love for us. This is his love for us. He told us last night that this was going to happen, and he told us why. He washed our feet. He said, love one another as I have loved you. And then he showed them how he loved them. And though they might have run away, they all, except Judas, they all received this as his love for them. And were just that sense of profoundly being blown away by, wow, how can you love me like that? How can you serve me like that? How can you lay down your life? You want me to consume your body and blood? Me? Lord, do you know who you are? I don't even bother asking the Lord, do you know who I am? I know he knows me. That's not what blows me away, as sinful as I am. I guess it's just more like, but you're God. It's not just me that you shouldn't be serving. It's like any of us. How can you serve any of us like that? He earnestly desired to celebrate this Passover with them before he suffered so that he could tell them, I love you. This is me showing you my love. In the washing of the feet, Peter's profoundly moved, but at the crucifixion and laying down his body and letting his blood be poured out, even more so. And he invites us as his people to receive that for what it truly is, to allow the Lord to profoundly love us and profoundly serve us. It does not diminish God's glory. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, it's not anything we deserve, really. But because of how he's made us in his image, there is a sense in which he's made us worthy, and he's making us worthy. And so the more that we receive the love of Jesus, that's where it starts. We always have to receive his love. The more we're able to imitate him, the more we're able to love others the way that we've been loved by him. And so as we receive Jesus' body and blood, soul and divinity in the Eucharist, we should allow ourselves to be just profoundly moved with gratitude. And as we receive in gratitude God's gift and his dwelling among us always, that sets us free from any pride that we might have about serving one another. Serving one another is more of a byproduct of that relationship with Jesus. The end in and of itself is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The first one's first. And first, we receive in gratitude and joy the Lord's love and his service, his gift of his very self to us. I always think tonight about how generous Jesus was with his time. If I knew that I was going to be tortured tomorrow, I wouldn't be here right now. I think I told you that on Sunday. I'd be sweating it out back in the chapel. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'll be listening to some kind of music to pump me up. Jesus is not locked in his own mind. He's so generous. And he's fully man. He's fully a human being. What an example for us. But first, we must receive it from him in gratitude and in joy.